But praise God. I'm so glad you all had a wonderful Christmas. And how many are looking forward to the new year? Yeah. Amen. Amen. The Bible says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard what God will do. But he has revealed it to his prophets. Amen. And so God has revealed his heart and his mind to the people of God. So if we're in tune with God and we're listening to heaven, then we're going to hear what God is about to do, what God wants to do in 2016. Amen. Let's just start with a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you today. Father, we thank you because today this is the day that you have made, Father. And we choose as an action, as a desire of our hearts, Father, as an act of our will, Father, we choose to rejoice and to be glad in you. Father, we commit, Lord, the word today into your hands, Father. Lord, that you will minister, Father, your word to our hearts, Heavenly Father. Let every heart be open to receive from you, Father. Let every ear be a listening ear. Let every heart be a receptive heart, Heavenly Father, and glorify your name. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank God, you know, for his goodness this year. You know, I don't know how many of you like watch the news and you kind of, you know, on the media, they generally do like a catch-up, don't they, of the whole year, a review of the year. And of all the highlights, of all the big news events, of everything that's happened during the course of the year. And it's interesting to see the various things, you know, that have gone on. And, you know, I also do like a sort of review myself of my own life and of what God has done for me, of what God has done in my family throughout the year. And I remember at the beginning of the year, you know, I had a little notebook and I purposed in my heart that I would begin to write, I would write down all the blessings, all the things that the Lord did for me. And it's so exciting to look back at the end of the year, everything that he did from the beginning of the year. And as I looked and as I read through, as I turned the page, I began to thank God and say, Lord, I thank you, Father. You know, I thank you for your goodness, for everything that you've done in my life throughout the year. And you know, that should be the story for each one of us. Amen. That we should be thankful to God. So I want us to start today by just giving God thanks, you know, for all that he has done in 2015. Because God is a good God. Amen. Amen. You know, God is so faithful. You know, I looked at the faithfulness of God. You know, the psalmist David said, you know, I've lived to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. If it wasn't for the Lord's help, where would we be? You know, if you look at the news, that there are people, I think, in the north of England right now, flooded. People whose houses are being sort of flooded with water. People whose cars parked outside and they're full of water. Their businesses flooded. Work premises flooded. All kinds of things. But God has kept us. Amen. You know, we need to thank God for the simple, basic things. Like, you know, we have air to breathe. You know, it's free. Amen. Nobody pays a penny for it. It's not like your gas bill, your electric bill, and they come knocking on your door. God's air is completely free. The Bible says God causes his sunshine, it's his sun, to shine on the good and on the bad, on the just and on the unjust. God is good to all. So we ought to give God thanks. Amen. Let's give God a clap offering right now and just praise him. Father, we thank you. Father, we bless you. You know, so God is so faithful. You know, one of the big items of the news is the whole thing of terrorism. And so we hear about ISIS, about Al-Qaeda, about what they're doing in different parts of the world. And we thank God that here, you know, that we are in relative peace and safety. Amen? It's the goodness and the blessing of God. The Bible says, except the Lord keep the city, the watchmen, they wake up and they keep vigil, but it is in vain. And so we need to thank God for his protection, amen, for his eyes over us. Why is that? The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. And so God's presence is with us and is watching over us 24/7. You know, that's where my confidence is. It's in God's angelic protection, that God watches over us as a city 24/7. The Bible says, he who keeps Israel, that he neither slumbers nor does he sleep. And so God is always, he's always watching over us. And so we need to give God thanks for his divine protection. We need to thank God for his divine favor. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah that, you know, it says darkness shall cover the nation and deep darkness the people. But, everyone say but. But the Lord will arise over you. The Lord will arise over me. The Lord will arise over Zion, over his chosen people. And he will keep us and protect us. And so we thank God for his continued faithfulness and for his protection over our lives. You know, at the beginning of 2015, God's Rhema word to me was in the book of Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. If you can have that up on the wall. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. And it said, not that I have already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid a hold of me. And the Lord reminded me of that word at the beginning of the year. And reminded me again at the end of the year. That his word, you know, has not changed. And if I was going to summarize that verse for me in just one word, the Lord gave me this word, attitude. Turn to your neighbor and say, attitude. It's an expression here of attitude. You see, Paul, the apostle, a man greatly used by God, greatly accomplished in the things of God, he makes this statement that not that I have already attained. So his attitude isn't that I've been there, done that, got the t-shirt to prove it, it's mine. His attitude is that I have not yet reached. Amen? It's not that I have already attained or I'm already perfected. But what? But I press. But I press on. You know, we had a prophetic word in this church that 2015 and 2016 would be twin years. Amen? I believe that there are things that we've started in 2015 that we're going to press on and complete in 2016. If he's a, amen. You know, and so this is God's word for us still as a church. So not that I have already, I believe that God wants us to have the right attitude for 2016. It's an attitude of conquest. So I want to speak today about having an attitude of conquest. You know, the prophetic word to us from our senior pastor was to fight, conquer, and dwell. Let's say that again. Fight, conquer, dwell. Fight, conquer, and dwell. You know, life is a fight, isn't it? Faith is a fight. It's almost like you look in any and every direction. You have to fight. Amen? And we're going to look at some examples in scriptures of people, you know, who fought. And there are two key examples I want us to focus in on. But, you know, we need to fight. We need to be people who are ready to fight for God's best. Amen? In every area. Amen. So we're going to be speaking about the attitude of conquest. That we have to have a certain attitude. It's like, it's a mindset. You know, I looked in the dictionary and it says this. That it's a feeling. So speaking about attitude, it's a feeling or opinion about something or someone. It's the way a person views something or tends to behave towards it. It's the way a person views something or tends to behave towards it. We could say perspective as well. It's another synonym. So is it half empty? Is the glass half empty or is it half full? It's our perspective about that thing. It's our attitude towards it. And God wants us to have the attitude of a conqueror. God wants us to have an attitude of conquest. And my first example I want us to speak about is David. He's one of my favorite characters in scripture. But he had the right attitude. And we know this story very well. David and Goliath. How many people don't know the story? How many people have never heard the story? I was going to give you a demo, but obviously you all know it, so I don't need to give you that demo. Somebody raised their hand there. I know that you know that story backwards and you know it very well. You probably read it to your children. But you know, in that story of David and Goliath, what happened there? It's in 1 Samuel. It's in the book of 1 Samuel, I think it's chapter 17. We're not going to, you know, read it for the sake of time. But you know, we know that story that there, the armies of the Philistines came up against the armies of Israel, didn't they? And they brought forth their champion, and his name was Goliath. And so there was Goliath, and he challenged them. He said, bring me a man to fight me. And if that man can fight me and win me, then we, the whole Philistine nation, will become your slaves. And we will serve you. But if I defeat your guy, then you will become our slaves. And you will have to serve us. And we know how the story goes. That after all the bragging and boasting and shouting, after Goliath had threatened that he would tear young David apart and feed his carcass to the birds, and after David had told him that you have defied the armies of the living God, I'm going to separate your head, that big fat head on your from your shoulders. After all the talking was done, then it was showtime. And the Bible says that David took one of five smooth stones, put it in his sling, swung it round, and he released that missile. You know, I think that David's attitude was, this guy's head is so big, I can't miss. It doesn't matter which way I throw it, you know. It's bound to hit him somewhere. And so he released that stone. And someone said, you know, that he was in full body armor. This is Goliath. That the one part of his forehead that wasn't covered, that was where the stone struck him. In just that one little space. I believe that an angel would have guided that stone to hit the right spot. Amen? Amen. And it struck him right there. And then there were only two strikes. The stone hits Goliath, and Goliath hit the floor. Game over. It was all over, just like that. But he had the right, David had the right attitude. It was an attitude of conquest. God said this to me, that our attitude in 2016 is key. Our attitude is going to be so important to us conquering, to us really achieving conquest for the Lord in 2016. Amen? Amen. And so we need to have the right attitude. And I want to encourage every single one of us to gird up your loins. Gird up the loins of your heart. Be prepared with the right mental attitude. It's an attitude of victory. Amen? You know, the Bible says we can't... No, God said this to me. He says, you can't have conquest unless you fight. He said, you can't have conquest. You can't have a victory unless you fight first. And so we've got to be people who are prepared to fight. So it's the attitude of a warrior. You know, another example, it's my second example, is with the 12 spies that Moses sent out to spy out the land of Canaan. How many remember that story? So it's the story where Moses sent out 12 spies to spy out the land of Canaan because God had already promised them to give them that land. We can look at that in the book of Numbers in chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. And we'll just look at a few verses there. Numbers chapter 13. And let's look at some verses. Let's read from verse 30, 30. Numbers 13 and verse number 30. It says, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are... What is that word?
Well,
we are well able to overcome it. We could put the word conquest in there. We are well able to conquer. He said, let us go up at once. Let's not delay till tomorrow. Let's not wait for a little while. Let's not wait till we feel good. Let's go up at once. That was his attitude. Because we are well able. You see, I don't believe that he was thinking of his own natural ability, but he knew the God who had told them to go and take the land. You know, if we look back at the beginning where Moses gave them the commandments, God said to Moses to send out spies to spout the land that he has already given them to possess. God had said, I've given you this land. Does it remind you of what Joshua, of God's word to Joshua, where God said to him, go and take that every place that what that the sole of your foot treads upon, I have given you as your possession. It's interesting how God speaks. So they haven't even taken a step yet, but God is saying to Joshua that every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have already given it to you as your possession. You see, that word produces faith in the heart. Amen? But with the heart, man believes. And so the attitude of a conqueror is one of believing God, is one that believes God. Amen? Amen? It doesn't matter how big the giants are. It doesn't matter what they look like. What matters is what God's word says about that situation. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You see, God watches over his word to perform it. But let's read on. Let's have that back. So, 31. And just see another attitude. It says, But the men who came up within said, we are not able to go up against this people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel. And the men, okay, let's stick. Okay, 32. Okay, and they gave the children of Israel a bad report. Everyone say bad report.
Bad report.
A bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants and all the people who are in it are men of great stature. Okay, now this is the evil report. This is the perspective that the world has. This is the perspective of the enemy. It says that you're not well able. The land devours its inhabitants. But we've just seen the perspective there or the attitude of Caleb. And he said that this land, that it's a land that we are well able to conquer. And we should go up at once and take it. And here's the opposition. You know, your circumstances and your situations will speak to you. I said your circumstances and your situations will speak to you. They come to challenge the word of God. The Bible says the enemy comes for the word's sake. He comes to challenge and to oppose the word of God. You know, God promises you divine health. But the enemy comes to challenge that word. And so as soon as, you know, you kind of sneeze and the first signs of a cold, you know, in the world they say, oh, I think I can sense a cold coming on because you sneezed or you coughed. Oh, there's something in my throat. I think I'm coming down with something. It's all up here, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a mental attitude. And the devil tries to open the door to get in through those negative attitudes. Through those attitudes where you feel like you're defeated already before the fight even starts. You know, that's the enemy's plan. To run you down, to wear you down, to defeat you. Mentally, first of all. And then the rest is easy. But if we hold fast to the word of God, if we bring to remembrance what God's word says, then we have the attitude of a conqueror. The attitude of an overcomer. You know, there are so many situations, in fact, there are as many situations here as there are people. I know that different people are wrestling with different things. So come 2016, the enemy will want to attack. So is it in the area of housing and accommodation? Is it in the area of your mortgage? Is it in the area of your health? Is it in the area of your prosperity and wealth? Is it in the area of your finances? Every single one of these different areas, the enemy, I can guarantee, he will attack you. Because the Bible said that he only comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Those are his only three objectives. Kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said this, I have come that they might have life, and life more abundantly. And so whose report are you going to believe? Two different perspectives there. Kill, steal, destroy. We can't make it. We are not well able. The people in that land, they are people of great stature. Or are we going to believe the word of God that says we are well able? That let us go up at once. What attitude do you have? God said this, that our attitude in 2016 is going to determine our altitude. Our attitude is going to determine our altitude. Our attitude is going to determine how high we reach, how far we can go, how much we can press in. In fact, you could cancel that word and say, I press. You could say, I fight on. And I discovered this, that also, not only do you have to press or fight on, but you have to continue to fight to hold on to what you've got. Because the devil wants to steal it away. As soon as you get it and you start to rest on your laurels, you know what? It starts to slip away. And so we mustn't become complacent. I said we mustn't become complacent. You see, the devil wants you to become complacent. He wants you to relax and think that, oh, you've arrived. You've achieved it. So you can put down your guard. You can rest on your laurels. But God wants you to keep on keeping on. He wants you to press to the end. Because you have to fight for what you get. Then you have to fight to keep what you have gotten. Amen? And so we need to be people who are military-minded, with a military mindset. I love what Terry was saying this morning, Brother Terry. You know, after the prayer, I was speaking to Terry and to Pastor Toki, and they were lamenting about Arsenal. We're having a group exercise of us licking our wounds. We had a humiliating 4-0 loss, thrashing. But Terry says, he said it's the mental attitude of the players. That's where they're defeated. You know, we need to have the right mental attitude. Right now, Watford. Yeah, I thought I'd get your attention. I'd say Watford, yeah. Watford is doing great. I thought, wow. Someone raising their hand there. Watford are doing great. Why? It's the mental attitude. That they can slay teams that are like giants. Teams that are like top of the Premier League. Some little team comes from nowhere and gives them a thigh. You think, what? How did that happen? How could that happen? Somebody said Chelsea. But how does a little team come from relative obscurity and thrash a big team? How does that happen? It's an attitude. What if someone said to them, well, you're a small team. You're not able to beat this big team. They're Manchester United. They're Chelsea. They're Arsenal. They're too tough for you. They have too many good players. You know, they have million players who are worth millions of pounds. They've done this before. You can't just come from nowhere and beat them. But lo and behold, they do. Because they have a mental attitude that says we can. You know, in 2016, we need to have the right mental attitude. We need to have the mental attitude that says, the attitude that says we are more than able. Yeah? That we are more than able to take the city. We are more than able to keep up with the payments. We are more than able to pay every bill that comes our way. We have more than enough. Amen? Amen. You see, it sounds so simple, but this is real stuff. Yes. And the devil, he tries in so many different ways to wear us down. Bible calls him the deceiver of the brethren. That's one of his major weapons, to deceive you, to make you think that you can't. And the moment you buy that lie, the moment you accept that, then you can't. Then you're defeated up here in your mind. But with the heart, man believes. And so we've got to be in that place where we believe God's word. We believe what God has said concerning us, that we are well able to overcome. So our rhema word is to fight, is to conquer, and to dwell. That we need to fight. So how many fighters do I have in this place? Amen? Every hand in the house. That we are people who are going to rise up and fight. You know, we're not going to take it lying. We're not going to take what the devil throws against us lying down. But we're going to rise up and fight. You know, as a child, when I was really little, I used to be in a lot of fights. You wouldn't think that today. Gentle Tebby be compiled. But as a kid, I can remember in the playground, you know, as a little boy, I got involved in a lot of fights. And a lot of them were because someone was either trying to hit or beat up my younger brother. And then there was something about big brother that just would rise up. I mean, he's way bigger than I am right now. If you saw me, you'd think I'm the younger brother. I've got two younger brothers and they're both bigger than me. One's a lot taller and one's a lot wider. But either way you look at it, they're both bigger. But I remember when they're really small, you know, and in the playground at school, I would stand up and I would defend them because, you know, they were my brothers. And so if anyone tried to mess with them or start something, I would step in, and I had lots of fights because of that. But you know, our big brother, Jesus, he has already whooped the devil. Yeah. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. He said, I saw him fall. And so we are fighting a defeated foe. He tries to act like he's still got it. But we know the truth. We know that he hasn't. Amen?
Amen.
I said, we know the truth that he hasn't. And guess who has it? We have it. Because Jesus already won it for us. Can we have Romans chapter 8 and verse 37 on the wall? Romans 8 and 37. It says, yet in all these things, what things? You know, you can fill that in with whatever. Whatever it is. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Who's him who loved us? It's Jesus. Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave. What did God give? God gave us Jesus. Jesus is God's Christmas gift to us.
Amen.
Amen? Jesus is the gift that God has given to the whole world, whether people receive him or not, but he is God's gift to the world. People ask about why is such and such happening in this part of the world? What's God doing about this? And what's God doing about that? You know, God has already done everything that he's ever going to do about it. He has given his best. He gave Jesus. He has given his number one gift. And it says, yes, in all these things, we, speaking about you, speaking about me, are more than conquerors. So we're not just conquerors, but we're more than conquerors. You know why? Because Jesus is the ultimate conqueror. He's the ultimate one who has already defeated everything that the devil ever has and ever can and ever will be able to throw against us. It is already defeated in the name of Jesus. And so Jesus Christ has given us the victory. And so what we're doing now is reinforcing that victory that Jesus has already won for us. That victory belongs to us. But you know, we've got to fight. You've got to fight to demonstrate it. You've got to fight to hold on to it. You've got to fight to prevail with it. And so I want to encourage every single one of us to enter 2016 with the right mental attitude, with the attitude of a conqueror, with the attitude of a victor. Amen. Praise God. Shall we stand to our feet? Hallelujah. You know, I want to read, if I can have Aaron on the keyboard, please. I want to read Isaiah chapter 59. And the 21st verse, it says, As for me, says the Lord, my covenant is with them. My spirit, who is upon you, and my words, which I have put in your mouth, shall not depart from your mouth or from your descendants, mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants' descendants, says the Lord, from this time and forevermore. God's word, I want you to keep it in your heart and in your mouth. What does God's word say about your situation? What does God's word say about every challenge that is coming against you? His words say that you are more than a conqueror. His words say that you are well able. His words say that you have the victory. But you know, we have to believe that word. It has to be in our hearts, but it has to be in our mouths also. It's the attitude of a conqueror. That word has to be more real to you than the words of the enemy. The scripture said that they brought an evil report to Moses. They brought an evil report of the situation. Not because it wasn't factual, but because it wasn't true as far as God's word is concerned. So if God says that you can overcome, any word that says you can't overcome is an evil word. Any word that says that you can't do it is an evil word. Any word that says you're not able, any word that even would suggest to your mind that this isn't possible is an evil word. And we need to treat it in such a way. And we need to hold fast to the word of God, to the living word, to the word that says that we can do what the word says that we can. That we can do all things, the Bible says, through Christ who strengthens us. He's the strength of our life. In every situation, in every circumstance, no matter what it is, no matter who's behind it, of this thing we will be sure. This is our confidence. That whatever God's word says we can do, we can do. I want to encourage someone here today that come 2016, embrace it as your year of conquest. Embrace it as your year of success. Embrace it as your year of victory. Embrace it as your year when you slay the giants. When the little team brings down the big teams. Amen. When you do everything that God says that you can do. Father, we thank you today. Father, we thank you for your great love. Father, we thank you for the attitude that you have called us to have. The attitude of conquest. The attitude of a victor. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we are not victims, but victors. We are not victims, we are victors. We are victorious. Father, we thank you because you always cause us to triumph over every situation, over every circumstance, Father. Whatever are the issues in people's lives, Father, we lift them up before you today, Father. And we declare that in 2016, every challenge, every issue, everything that comes against us, that comes against the word of God that is on the inside of us, Father, we declare that it is defeated in the authority of the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Lord, we give you the praise today. Father, we thank you. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. We give you the worship for everything that you have done. For everything, Lord, that you will do in Jesus' precious name. And his people said, Amen. Amen.